Now the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. The 12th chapter is an exciting and scary chapter. As a matter of fact, the whole book of Revelation is, but this is, you know, a lot of people wouldn't even read the book of Revelation, you know? They wouldn't read it. They wouldn't read the book of Revelation. They were too afraid. They'd have nightmares. And here we are studying it from Greek. We have super nightmares with all of the, because you can see it in the living color of the Greek. You know, the real, you know, when you look at the translation of the New Testament, and even in the Old Testament, in English, especially King James, you're seeing a very dim black and white picture. When you look at it from the inspired languages, you see it with all dimensions and full color, more than 3D. And all of this right in front of you. You can see the tenses and the modes and everything just jumping out and showing you how the action's taking place. It's better than a blow-by-blow commentator, like at a hockey game or a baseball game. There was a great baseball announcer one time, and everybody used to love to listen to that announcer as he would announce the baseball games. I can't remember his name right now. He died several years ago. Yeah. Anyway, he was a great announcer, and people would love to hear his play-by-play, action-by-action, even replays. Remember him?
Harry something.
Anyway, here we have it. We have it from the original languages here. And this is, we're talking from 12, 1 through 18, now we're talking about the woman and the dragon. The woman and the dragon. All right, the woman and the dragon. Kai?
Kai.
Savion?
Savion.
Mega?
Mega.
Opte?
Opte.
In?
In.
To?
To.
Urano?
Urano.
Ine?
Ine.
Peri beb lemine.
Peri beb lemine.
Tone?
Tone.
Helion?
Helion.
Kai?
Kai.
Hey?
Hey.
Selmane?
Selmane.
Hippocato?
Hippocato.
Tone?
Tone.
Podon?
Podon.
Altes?
Altes.
Kai?
Kai.
Epi?
Epi.
Tes?
Tes.
Cathales?
Cathales.
Altes?
Altes.
Stephanos?
Stephanos.
Asteron?
Asteron.
Dodeca.
Dodeca.
And a great sign. Now, what does it say in King James there? Can you look over to the side of that? What's it say? Right over there on the edge, right there, it'll say that. Okay. Okay, this is not a wonder. That was a bad translation of this word. Our word sign comes right out of Samuel. Our word sign comes right from this Greek word. And it means you can see a stop sign out here on the side of the road. That's a stop sign. You see go signs and whatever, you know, splits. This is a sign. This is a instructions. It's what it's talking about. It could be a miracle, which he gave instruction or whatever, but this is something for edification. All right? And there was a great sign or a miracle or a form of edification, and it was seen in the heaven. Then it says about a woman, a gynae. The word gynecologist comes from this word in Greek. All right? Gynecology comes from this word gynae. All right? And if you pronounce it incorrectly, it's gynae. That's the way Benjamin Davis great grammar. I'm not Benjamin Davis, but Davis's great grammar. It, that ypsilon there, he is a upsilon to him, and he tries to make it German, so he calls women goonies. But it's really gynae, all right? Gynae. Having been royally clothed, now this woman has been royally clothed with the sun, all right, and the moon underneath the feet of her, and upon the head of her a crown with 12 stars in it. Now, if you go back in the book of Genesis, in the 37th chapter, you'll see one of Joseph's dreams that he had with the moon and the sun and the 12 stars, all of them were bowing down to him. All right? This was a reference to this right here. Here we have the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation tied together. And who was this woman? If you're a Calvinist, they will say this is the church. It doesn't have anything to do with the church at all. Period. This is Israel. All right? This is the nation of Israel. God's promised nation. By the way, we become flag wavers and everything and say, America, in God we trust, and this is God's nation. No, it is not. This is not God's nation. God only had one nation in all time, in all history, and that's Israel. And guess what? That's still the only nation he has. That's God's nation. Now, he did divorce her as his wife. Did you know God got a divorce? God gave himself a divorce from that woman. He called her a harlot. That she was always straying after her. All kinds of words. I won't tell you all the things that God said about that woman. I mean, there's some pretty strong language in there. But he said she was a terrible, wayward woman. And that she chased every man around. And the men that she was chasing is what it talked about was false religious systems. False religion. And he told Israel to stay separate from all of that forever. He said, stay separate from her, those religions, forever. And you can't mix my truth with those religions. Don't get it mixed up. And the moon, the sun, and the moon underneath the feet of her, and upon the head of her, a crown with stars 12. What do you think it's referring to there? What? The 12 tribes of Israel. All right? Now, there's some outstanding personalities shown forth in these verses that we're going to see. We're going to see the sun-clothed woman, which is Israel. We're going to see the great red dragon, which is Satan. And in Christ's day, guess who was the representation of Satan right there? We're going to get into that just a little bit. Who was the representation of Satan in Christ's day when Christ was born on this earth?
Was Israel?
No. Israel was his bride.
Still at the time.
Well, there's only one. There was, as far as we know, there was one faithful woman in Israel that was his virgin, and that was Mary. Okay, and Mary brought forth the Christ child. All right, and he was divine. Jesus was divine. It wasn't Mary's blood that made him divine. It was God's blood, because not one ounce, not one drop of a child's blood comes from his mother. It's from the Father. Christ's blood was divine from God. He was God the Son. He was Jehovah, and Jehovah means he who shall become. And John 1:14, it says, and the Word became, Jehovah, became flesh. Who was on the throne in Israel at the time? Who was it?
Herod.
Herod. Brother, you're all right. Who was Herod a descendant of? He was a what?
The Herod of...
Herod. Yeah, the family of Herod.
Yeah.
Who were they descendants of?
Israel?
They were Edomites.
Edomites.
And who was Edom in the Bible? Esau. Was Esau the promised son? No. He was, the Bible says that God hated Esau, but he loved Jacob. Now here is the rascal, the one that despised his birthright in the Old Testament, that sold his whole priesthood out for a bowl of beans. That's what he did. Lentils are just tastes like a lot like fennel beans. And that's the cheapest commodity in the nation of Israel was lentils. And he came home out from out hunting. He said, I'm starving to death. And he came by his brother Jacob's tent. And he was out there cooking lentils, this bean soup. And he said, give me some of that bean soup, that lentil soup. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He's one of New York Jews. He says, do I have a deal for you? You know, you run into those places and they, and you get a coat that's four sizes too big, and they'll run up, get you in front of the mirror, and grab that thing up, and the Bible what fits you just perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. Well, old Jacob, he told Esau, he said, Esau, he said, do I have a deal for you today? Just today, I will give you this bowl of beans for your birthright and your priesthood. He was going to be the head of the family, the high priest of the family. He says, so what? It don't mean nothing to me. I'll trade you. He was actually lying because he would later on want it back.
He whined about it.
Yeah, he whined about it. He wanted it back. He was going to kill his brother.
He came back from hunting when he was tired.
Yeah.
And he was hungry. That shows how lazy he was. He had his own food. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah, he didn't have to. Esau despised the blessings and the promises of God. He hated them. And God hated him. As simple as that. He hated him. Well, Herod was on the throne that Joseph's family was supposed to be on when Jesus was born. Look at that. This was not the promised son. The devil had put him on the throne of Israel. It was supposed to have been, Joseph was supposed to be there, and then Jesus was in line to be the king of Israel. So he tried to destroy the rightful heir to the throne of Israel when he found out the Messiah was going to be born.
Good question.
Yes.
Everybody knowing what their line is and what tribe they come from, they would know that Joseph and his family were
supposed to be on the throne. They knew that.
Was anything done, or is that just a?
Was that just a
fact that nobody cared about, or
they just didn't care anymore? Herod had built them a beautiful temple. You know, Israel. You know who's going to build the temple? These Jews are not going to build a temple. In Jewish theology and prophecy, the Messiah is going to build the temple. The Messiah will build the temple. Guess who? What Herod did? He built the temple. A more beautiful temple was never built as far as flamboyantly as Herod built. It was an absolute palace. A kingly palace, beautiful, beyond anything but greater than Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple was inspired of God. It was beautiful. But Herod's temple was much larger. The whole temple area and everything was just unbelievable. All right, let's look at some of these outstanding personalities in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, will you? The sun-clothed woman is Israel. The great dragon is Satan and his representatives. Okay, the child of the sun-clothed woman. Who is that? Who's the son of a sun-clothed woman?
Jesus.
All right, the Messiah. All right, we have an angel, we have the archangel, and we have the remnant of the nation of Israel involved here. All right, Revelation 12 and verse 2. Chi.
Chi.
Him.
In.
Gostri.
Gostri.
Exusa. Chi, Fase, Odinusa, Chi, Fasanizamin, Tekane. All right, that's a short verse. And in the Gostri, you have gastrointestinal problems sometimes. This is where it comes from right here. That term comes from the Greek. We're seeing all kinds of these terms, okay? And in the womb, having, she's pregnant with a child, all right? And she's continuously or in the time of gestation or bringing forth the child. She's carrying the child. She's in the midst of carrying the child. And then it says she cries out, suffering in pains of birth and being in distress to bear or to bring forth the child. All right? She's under great stress. Guess what happened to Mary and Joseph? Where were they living? Where did they live? Where did they live?
Nazareth.
Nazareth.
Yeah.
Now, the word Nazareth comes from the Hebrew word which means root. And Jesus would be a root out of dry ground. Now, he would be raised in Nazareth. But Joseph's family was from Bethlehem, which was the city of David. All right? Now, in the Old Testament, it prophesies that Israel or Jacob would never be without a son to sit on the throne of Israel. Why? From the time the promised seed was to come and the Messiah prince was to come until he really came on the scene, it was necessary for that lineage to remain intact, wasn't it? Satan tried to destroy that. We can see that so many times in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But it was necessary for him to come forth, and guess what? He did come forth. And where was he supposed to be born, according to the Scriptures?
Bethlehem,
the city of David. Because he was of the family of David, and the family of David was what line was that? The kingly line. That's who was supposed to be on the throne. Israel knew that. Brother, does that answer your question you asked a while ago? Did they know that? Yes, they knew that. All right? They knew where he was supposed to be. He was born in Bethlehem. And she was on a trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem because he had to go back to his native city where he was born, where his family was, to register in a census. Rome was taking a census of the people of their nation that they were over, all right, of these people. How many people are we going to have to take care of? How many people can we expect taxes from?
Mm-hmm.
And where do they come from? They have to go back to their family town, and they have to register there in this census. So this is why that she's going back. And it is kind of uncomfortable for a woman in the last part of her gestation period, all right? It really is. So this woman was riding on the donkey part of the way and walking part of the way, all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And when she got there, shortly after she got there, she had to be put up in a low-class hotel out there. It was a low-class hotel. And here was the king of Israel to be born. Even the stars were lined up right. Even the Magi. Who were the Magi, by the way? Who were they?
Shepherds.
The Magi?
They were Far Eastern kings, weren't they?
They were
astronomers.
They were people. Most historians believe that these were people that were descendants of a school in Babylon that actually Daniel had started and dealt among them, teaching the ways of God over there. And they were looking for the Messiah to come to. The promises of the Old Testament. And these Magi, also, they studied the stars. And there are many people written, Bollinger wrote a story about the God's witness in the stars, how the stars all line up and everything, and how all of these things portray the coming of the Messiah. All right? The signs of the zodiac start with what? All right? Head of the woman and end with a lion, okay? And only the Sphinx, what does it have? The body of a lion, the head of a woman or something? All right? The first and the last of the signs of the zodiac? All right? The woman would bring forth the child and he would be the king of Israel, the lion of the tribe of Judah, okay? Now that's just some of the things that people have thrown in. Whether it's walks on all fours, I don't know, but I thought I'd throw that one at you just for thought. Well, Israel was coming. The Messiah was coming to Israel. Israel knew that. They knew the very moment. How many of you heard Brother Phil's sermon here over there the other day about the, exactly when the Messiah would come in? The Messiah, the Prince, would ride into Jerusalem on the donkey.
Mm-hmm.
That was prophesied. They knew exactly the day that he was supposed to ride there. Herod did everything he could do to destroy that heir to the throne.
Do you think their priests were like waiting and watching the gate? He was going to walk in the door?
They were very happy with their religion. They didn't want God getting in the way.
So they wouldn't care if they cut down.
They were happy with their religion the way it was. The Pharisees were the most religious sect of the Jewish people. And the Pharisees said their writings, their commentary on the Old Testament Scripture was just as valid as the Scriptures itself. I want you to think about something else out in the world today. There are Baptists that have been, you know, we come down, some of you have taken Baptist history from me. We studied about Baptist, or church history actually. We studied about the history of all the churches all the way down through. But there are churches out in the world today, almost all of them say they believe the Scriptures. Don't they? I mean,
somewhat. As so long as
it doesn't contradict their theology. And then they'll rest it, okay, and make it do what they want it to do, so they'll be feel all right in religion. There is no further revelation than God's Word. Do you know that? But there are churches out in the world today that have continuous revelation. Watch that. There is no continuous revelation. What does the book of Revelation say? When that book was written, what? Don't take away from this book and don't add to it, or the curses will be added to you that are found in this book. So, I don't want any further revelation. I'll settle with what I've got right here. All right? 23. Hi. Ope. Alo. Semion.
In.
To.
Urano.
Kai.
Idu.
Dracon. Hiros.
Magus.
Ekon. Kephalos. Kepta.
Kai.
Kerata.
Deca.
Kai.
Epi.
Tas.
Kephalos.
Altu. Hepta.
Diademata.
Well, I'm looking for something here. I don't see it. I'm taking some more roll. John, what is your last name? Chavez?
Yes.
Get this thing caught up before I forget it. I'll never get it done. Just take the time out for just a moment. All right? Now, and it was seen another sign. Remember we took a look about this word sign. All right? It is a directions, instructions in the heaven. And then he says, and you behold, there is a dragon, fiery red. Remember there was a red horse in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, wasn't it? What did that red horse do? He went out chopping things up and chopping things down. He was out a death-dealing horse. That's what he was. And here we have a red dragon typifying the blood that he had shed throughout all time. A great red dragon. And then it says, having heads seven and horns ten upon the heads of him and seven diadems. Let's go back and look at this. He has seven, or it says he has seven carats. Karatha. The word, our word carat comes right out of the Greek. A carat is a horn-like vegetable. All right? Karatha. He had heads seven. Now, if you go back in Daniel, the seventh chapter, and verses 7-8, and then verse 24, and Daniel 12 and verse 9, you will see the prophecy in the Old Testament of what would take place here. You're going to find out that these kings were, and then they were not. Some of them were killed. Some of the empires, some of Satan's empires, have fallen in the past. Do you know that? These were empires of Satan. Remember I told you, God has only had one nation throughout all time. Don't try to blame him for what's happening over here, because he has nothing to do with this mess. This is not his fault. All right? He's had one nation throughout all time, and that nation is Israel. I want to ask you, historians, who was the first Hitler Why? Hold on just a minute. Who was the first Hitler? Who was the first Hitler in modern times? It wasn't Hitler. He had the same ideas. Hitler took them right up.
You just told us that.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Who was it?
Luther.
Martin Luther. Martin Luther said every Jew should be put in prison, in work camps. They should be worked to death, and all their prodigies should be cut off. All the males should be castrated. They do away with them. God hates them.
He also went out a hit on the Pope, didn't he?
Well, yeah. The Pope would have put out a hit on him if he'd had more time. He was too busy conquering and fighting at that time and having wars to fight old Martin Luther. But Martin Luther wanted to do exactly the same thing that Hitler did later, and Hitler took... Yes, Margaret?
Martin Luther who?
Martin Luther who? He was a great reformer in history. All right? And that he was a great reformer that came out of the Catholic Church and tried to reform the Catholic Church. He lived at the same time that Calvin lived, John Calvin and Martin Luther. He is the father of the Lutheran churches.
Early 1700s.
All right. The what?
Early 17th century.
Yeah. The 14, 1500s, this is when this took place. All right. Martin Luther came out of the Catholic Church and founded the Lutheran Church and the State Church of Germany. All right? Which is basically the State Church of Germany even to this day, the Lutherans. And also up into in some places in Northern Europe and what we call, what are those nations?
Scandinavian
nations, all right?
So Hitler was Lutheran?
Well, Hitler, no, he wasn't Lutheran. He wanted to be the Christos. He wanted to be the Christ himself. But he took what Luther had said, and by the way, those people's minds were poisoned against the Jews all the way from Luther's time to Hitler's time. When he stood up and started saying what he said, they already believed it already.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, they were mad at those Jews. They were mad at those Jewish people because they had all the money. And they were controlling those countries. And the best thing they could do as far as they were concerned was what Luther said for them to do. All right? And this fiery red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns.
The seven carrots being...
Caraca. That's the...
Their symbols of...
Horns.
But they're symbols of...
Of authority.
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 Like the crown.
Like crowns. You know those old Viking hats? They had horns on them. Caracas, horns on them. Ten horns upon the heads and seven diadems. This diadem alpha. What is a diadem, a diadem? What is it?
It's a crown of conquest.
It's a what?
Crown of conquest.
It's a crown of conquest. It is a crown that has been awarded to you because you have conquered. And it says he had how many diadems? He had seven diadems. He had seven nations. Seven of these great rulers had done great deeds. This is Satan's Hall of Fame. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it's God's Hall of Fame of the people that have been great, honorable heroes in his time. Heroes. You know the American Indians, I keep bringing that in, but I hope I'm educating on you just a little bit of that culture. And how it flows with what was taught to Noah when the earth, before the earth was divided, and what came out here, we have remnants of that teaching of what God had taught Noah and those people then. The Indian people used to say, a hero is more important than a rich man any day. What happens to a rich man when he dies?
He dies.
He's dead. He's dead, and whoever inherits his wealth, sometimes it'll be to the adversity of them. It'll be to their undoing. How many rich kids have inherited a fortune to just blow it, throw it away, and destroy their lives with it? But what about a hero?
The story.
The story, the family, the name. You could say, I'm Jesse James something. And we look at Jesse James, an outlaw. Jesse James' family was one of the greatest Baptist families in America. Did you know that? His dad founded churches all over the place. One of my teachers, Ben Marcus Bogard, the greatest thing he ever said, he was a seminary teacher and a preacher almost all of his life. One of the greatest events of his life was when he slept in the same bed with Jesse James. He would go from town to town robbing at banks and doing in the system that the railroads in this country had set up to rip and rape people and peoples, the common man. And he was a Robin Hood of those days. And he was wherever he went to Baptist church services. His son came all the way out here to California and started a Baptist church down there in Southern California. How many of you knew that history? Well, the greatest time, one of the greatest, most thrilling moments in Ben Bogard's life was the night that he slept in the same bed with Jesse James with that big long gun laying on Jesse James' chest. they would give them some place to stay that would protect them as they ran from town to town. They were far they were that this was justice. They were fighting the system, fighting back the injustices of the time. A hero. All right? We have heroes today. How many of you ever heard of Crazy Horse?
Mm-hmm.
Sitting Bull. Those names absolutely lived on and on and on. Who was Sitting Bull?
Sitting Bull was a religious man.
He was a preacher.
Shaman?
He was a preacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shaman or a preacher.
Yeah.
So was Crazy Horse. Crazy Horse was also a war leader. But he was, most of all in his life, he was a monk, almost. As you would call, he was a spiritual leader. He stayed off by himself. He didn't even go to parties. He wouldn't go to dance. He didn't do anything. He sat back and he prayed all the time. He was so, they say he was so heavenly minded that he was no earthly good hardly at all. That's right. That's what his people said about him. He didn't care about anything except what God wanted for his people. And that's what he fought for. He was a great spiritual leader. In about 1990, there was a little girl that was in high school. Her name was Sue Ann Decrow. And she lived on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. She was a great girl. She grew up and she was different than all the rest. Think about Mary back in her day. The majority of Israel had gone astray and away from God. They held on and they were preaching God's word and they were so far away from God, they couldn't smell Him. Well, this little girl, Sue Ann Bigcrow, was different too. She was a young girl and young in her life. She started seeing what drinking did to her people, the American Indian people. The great chiefs like Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse and Red Cloud told the Indian people never touch that devil's drink, the drink of the devil. Never touch it. That's how the devil will destroy our people. And this young girl, when she was young, I mean 8 and 9 years old, she was going and talking in cafeterias in schools all over and talking and trying to tell the people, don't drink. Look what it's doing to your families, to your children. Look what legacy you're leaving your people when you do this. She became a great basketball star. I mean, this girl was different than everybody. Everybody else is just going their own way. We talk about in school, we talk about peer pressure. What about Jesus in his time? What kind of, he was peer pressure, wasn't he? Well, this little girl, Sue Ann, was peer pressure. She was different than all of the rest of the Lakota people. Different. And she was going out, and a lot of the people, there was division in her life. That's when the American government had gone in there and caused great controversies, and people were dying every week on these reservations. What they call the Goon Squad was there. And the FBI and the CIA were all through there. How many of you ever seen some of these Indian movies? The Incident in Ogallala and Thunderheart. That's what was going on in her lifetime. That's what she was living through. And she was going out and she was saying, don't drink. Don't drink. Be different. Go to church. Study the traditions of our people. Remember who you are wherever you go. Don't say there's a drunk Indian out there. Stand up and be proud. Remember who you are when you're going. And she taught all these things. It's different than all other young people. And they were, and back in that country, there's a lot of German people and a lot of Dutch people and different groups all through there. Well, these high school basketball teams, the girls' basketball team, by the way, she was one of the greatest stars that ever lived. She used to bounce a basketball 10,000 times a day. And she could play and shoot baskets, and she could play like she was 8 foot tall. And she was 5 foot eight. And she could play like an 8 foot tall. She could dunk a basket. That's like that. She did run all over the place. She was a star. She won all of the championships. Through all through the land. And one day they went to Leeds, South Dakota. Leeds, South Dakota, there was a terrible anti-Indian group there. Every time they would come out there, they would just hee-haw the Indian people. It was the talk about racism. It was terrible. They would get out there and they would hold up food stamps and say, hey, Indians, where's your cheese today? And they would do all nothing but slurs all the time. By the way, how many of you knew why welfare, how welfare was started? The welfare system. The welfare system. No. It was started to make the American Indian a ward of the state. That's how welfare began. It was to completely demoralize the American Indian and make him a ward of the state. For he'd have no ambition in life, just let him stay home and get drunk. Just do whatever you want. Anyway, they come out like this, and her team didn't even want to go out on the floor. They were visitors. They were supposed to run around and dribble around and make shoot a basket or two out there. And when it came time for them to go out, they had their warm-up jackets on. They were supposed to run out here and do these little dribbles and everything. They were out there catcalling and doing all this kind of stuff, and nobody wanted to go out. They were too ashamed to go out there. She says, let me go. She said, let me go out there. They said, Suzanne, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And they were a little bit afraid at first. They said, well, nobody want to go. They said, let her go. So she runs out there and she's dribbling there. They were out there, whoa, 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 and all this kind of stuff when she came out on the court, doing all these catcalls and everything. She dribbles out there real neat like around the court, and she stops right in front of the opposing cheering section. And she took off her coat. What she was saying to him, she said, become one of us. Become one of us. And you know what? That town never made another catcall to that team. What she did there that day had such an effect on those people. It was like crazy horse that come back. To unite the people and to give them courage to go and stand, and they won the game, hands down. There was no challenge at all. But she was a legend, and she is a legend among the Lakota people. Following in the steps of the legend, we follow in the steps of the greatest legend that ever walked the face of this earth, God in flesh. That's who we walk in His footsteps. A great legend, a great hero. How much greater Hall of Fame than there is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts and the epistles of the New Testament. Words that have touched the whole world. The Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament have touched almost every human life in the world at all time. Outside of Lakota people, outside of the Lakota people, people don't even know who Suzanne Bigfoot is. But among them, she's a legend. She gave them hope. Diadems. Signs of warfare. Signs of conquering. Signs of victory. diadem. That day she took that shawl off of her sweater off, her warm-up jacket, and used it as in that shawl dance. One of the most beautiful, graceful dances among those people at that time. Offering them to become one with her. Jesus Christ clothed himself. God clothed himself in flesh to make us one with him. Talk about beauty and love. There is nothing beyond that. The ancient princes, like Alexander the Great, so on and so forth, a diadem sometimes was a strip. Like, how many of you have seen a bandana? It was like a silk strip that would go around. And every country that they conquered, they had one diadem for each conquered. Well, Satan here, this guy, has seven diadems. Seven diadems. Jesus Christ is going to come on the scene one of these days with all. His hair is going to be full of diadems. His head will, diadems will be streaming down from all over. Because he will conquer the enemy in every way. Satan has a lease on this world right now. But one of these days, we can hope for one thing. We're going to have true justice one of these days. There's going to be true righteousness. And God is going to rule forever and ever on this earth. 12 and verse 4. Kai. Hey. Urah. Altu. Sire. To. Tritone. Tone. Asteron. Tu. Uranu. Kai. Ebalin. Altus. Ace. Same. Gain. Kai. Ho. Dracon. Esfake. Enopion. Taste. Yanakos. Taste. Malusais. Tekain. Hina. Hotan. Takei. To. Technon. Altes. Katafage. And the tail of him. Who? Who's him?
The dragon.
It throws down or draws down the third of the stars of the heaven. What in the world is it talking about? All right. Do you know that when Satan rebelled against God, that not only Satan rebelled against God, but he took one third of all the created forces, beings of the universe with him? One third of all demons, angelic, spirit forces went with him. One third. How much is that? There was one person there by the Sea of Galilee, what we call the Gadarene demoniac. How many demons did he have in him? His name was Legion.
1,000, 2,000
demons in him. Spirit beings, powerful. What is a demon? Daimyo. What is a daimyo? That's a supernatural spiritual being. Beyond anything that we understand. This person could just break chains, rip them open. How many times do you see people with superhuman strength that are mean? How many people go out here when they're drunk and can whoop a whole bar room of people? And maybe a little guy. They go out here on the side of the roads. These police officers started being afraid to carry 357 magnums. They stopped one guy out here that was high on drugs, and he emptied his gun, and the guy took his gun away from him and beat him out to death with all the bullets in him. They want to start carrying 45s again. And lots of them did. So you can stop these demonic creatures. You know, when you drink drugs and alcohol, that kind of stuff, it gives you powers that you don't need to have anything to do with. There are spiritual forces behind everything in this world. Behind every government. Behind every government head, there are spiritual forces. And from what I see, the greatest part of them are not from God. God does a lot of protecting, but There's a lot of spiritual forces, and that's what it's talking about here. The terrible spiritual forces, the influences of Satan. He drove with him and cast down to the earth 1/3 of the stars of heaven. And he cast them down to the earth. And the dragon, the Drakon, he stood before the woman. This dragon did. Now, if you want to cross-reference some of this, you can look up Luke 10:18, Isaiah 14:12 through 19, Ezekiel 28:1 through 19, Genesis 1 and 2, and you can cross-reference and look at all different kinds of references talking about exactly what I just described to you. All right? And this dragon stood before the woman that was about to bear in order that he might devour the child when it's born. We talked about Herod a while ago. Being on the throne. You think Herod was God's man or Satan's man?
Satan's
man. He was a descendant of Esau. Esau was not the promised child. Alright? He was not the promised child. But that's who he was. He was an imposter. That's who Herod was. And when Jesus was born, he tried to destroy the child, the promised Messiah child. He wanted to destroy him. He wanted to stop him. He was doing Satan's bidding. He had every male child in Bethlehem killed that was 2 years old and under. Every male child. And the Bible said that would happen, did you know that? Because he talked about that there would be much wailing, the women would wail in Bethlehem. They would wail over their children that were not, because he had cut them off. He would be born there. And then it says also that Joseph was approached by an angel in a dream and said, get out of here and go down to Egypt. And stay down there until I tell you to come back. And those that are seeking his life will be dead then. And so Joseph hopped on the mule and took off to Egypt. Now, Egypt is always the type of what in the Bible? Sin or the world. All right? God came down into this sinful world to save us. All right? And then it says, in another place in the Old Testament, it says that God would call his son out of Egypt. And he called him back on. Up and then he lived in Nazareth, didn't he? He grew up in Nazareth as a normal child, but everybody watched Jesus. They knew who he was. They knew what family he was of. This was the boy that escaped and went down into Egypt. All the Pharisees, you know, Jesus went to a synagogue. He went to a synagogue. And when he went to Jerusalem, the teachers were just amazed at what he knew. You think Jesus was famous by the time he was 12 years old? Well, sure he was. They knew who he was, but they didn't want him. They had a religion that they wanted. They didn't want God interfering with them. All right. He tried to stop the Christ child, Herod did. Satan working with him. 12 and verse 5. Revelation 12 and verse 5. Tie.
Take
him.
Quion.
Arsene.
Arsene.
Pos.
Pos.
Melee.
Melee.
Poi. Monin.
Poi. Monin.
Panta.
Panta.
Ta.
Ta.
Ethne.
Ethne.
En.
En.
Rabdo.
Rabdo.
Sidera.
Sidera.
Kai.
Kai.
Herpaste.
Herpaste.
To.
To.
Technon.
Technon.
Altes.
Altes.
Pros.
Pros.
Tone.
Tone.
Theon.
Theon.
Kai.
Kai.
Pros.
Pros.
Tone.
Tone.
Thronon.
Thronon.
Altu.
Altu.
And it says, and she bore the heir, the male heir. The promise is fulfilled. The reason why a line of David would still be in the world until the Messiah came. The purpose of all the promises, the promise that God made to Abraham, the Abrahamic promise, the Abrahamic promise. Satan was doing everything he could in the world within his powers to stop the Christ child from coming on the scene. He had his man on the throne of Israel, didn't he? Why, it wasn't a descendant of David. It was a descendant of Esau. How must Esau's descendants have felt so proud that they had thwarted the promises of God? But beware. But beware. God's eternal promises, His unpreventable progress goes on. He's like a steam engine running full blast on the rails, and some little ant jumping up is like people in time. Some little ant jumping up and saying, "Stop!" You know, on the front of the old locomotives, they used to have cow catchers.
Mm-hmm.
They had a thing like this on the front of it, and they would catch, and they would take them. And if a buffalo or a cow got out in front of one of these locomotives that's going across the prairies, that thing would just kind of flip them off to the side, and they just keep on going. Buffaloes and cows get pretty big, but they just flip them off and keep on going. That's the way men in time sometimes try to thwart the true purposes of God. God has an eternal purpose that's going to come about. We look at this little chart right here. By the way, next week we have one more class here. And then we go over there to the other building, S-22. All right? Supposedly, unless they change their minds. They'll call me that today. God has dealt with man all the way down through the ages in different ways. But He has an eternal purpose. The Christ child would come through all these promises here, all the ceremonies, all the sacrifices in the Old Testament stood for one thing, Jesus Christ. Israel was looking forward to the Messiah to come, but by the time He came on this earth, they didn't want Him. They had a religion, and they liked what they were doing. They had proud preachers that stood up there and made long prayers. You know how many hours a day that a Pharisee would pray? You know how many hours a day a Pharisee would spend in prayer and meditation?
More than that.
More than that.
I figure 10% a day.
9 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
9 hours of empty prayers. The Lord said, "I saw a publican, sinner, standing on the street, and I saw a Pharisee standing on the street. And a Pharisee stood up there and he said, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of this trash, these low lives. I don't even have any impulses to do what they're doing. I am such a good man. And I thank you that I'm so great. Thank you, God, for making me who I am.'" Sound like some hyper-Calvinist, doesn't it? "How great I am that you have chosen me and made me different from all the world." And there was a poor publican standing over there. He said, "Tax collector, some lowlife, crime." I mean, a tax collector was a thug. He stole as much as tax as he was taking and sticking in his own pocket. And that tax collector stood over there, and he wouldn't even look up to heaven and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And he said, "Guess what?" Jesus said, "Guess what? Who went home justified? That lowlife. Not that rascal that stood up and told me to move off of my throne. Move over. I'm God too." He said it was the sinner that really knew he was forsaken of God, that he had actually forsaken God. There was a woman that came to Jesus. Well, actually, two of them did this. Two Marys. One of the Marys was a prostitute and just a low life, no good. Mary Magdalene. The town she came to was like the red light district of Chicago or something. She came up and Jesus saved her, told her her sins were forgiven, and she followed Him. She was a rich woman. She had become rich by her trade. And she took all of her riches that she had and she poured them on Jesus' feet and on His head. And Judas said back here, "What's that woman doing? We could take all that money and sell it and all this stuff, this rich ointment and stuff, we could sell it and give it to the poor. Of course, he was the poor. Yeah, he was concerned. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they were saying, look, who's he letting? He's letting her touch him. If he was some special prophet, he wouldn't let that woman touch him. And Jesus looked at him and looked at them and says, told him, there was a very rich man, and he had a lot of people that owed him money. And I want you to tell me now, he said, he forgave all of them of the debts that they owed. And one man owed him a lot of money, and another man owed him just a little bit. He said, which one of them would be the most thankful? He said, the one that owed him the most. He said, that's right. Take it home. Take it to the bank. And she bore him a male child who is about to shepherd all the nations. This male child, this heir. That wheel on there, that's an heir. That comes from wheels. That third word up there, the wheels is the heir. That is the blood relative of the king. All right? He's about the shepherd to do the complete job of a shepherd, by the way. That poem, my name. That means to shear. That means to doctor. That means to lead to water. That means to keep them in line. That means to protect them. Everything. Jesus, in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, said, I am the good shepherd. All right? And he is the good shepherd. He said, a lot of shepherds, they don't care about you. They don't care about the sheep. But I'll lay down my life for the sheep. And he talked and told many parables about the same thing. And he said, he's about to shepherd all the nations. The word ethnic comes this from this word ethne. Oh, it says here, with a rod of iron. With a rod of iron. You know, back in the shepherd days, if you read the 22nd Psalm, I mean the 23rd Psalm, almost all of you heard that, if you ever went to a funeral or church very much, you know what Psalm 23 is, the Lord is my shepherd, and so on and so forth. Okay? David wrote that Psalm. David was a shepherd. That's what he did most of the time in his life. David was a shepherd. That psalm is David's idea of heaven. Did you know that? That psalm is David's idea of being in heaven and having a shepherd shepherd him. Just think about it. If you could be that shepherd that David was and pretending that you were one of his sheep, that God would lay your life down for, that he would prepare a table before you in the middle of war, in the middle of your enemies. That's what he said. He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And then it says he was snatched up, this child of her, toward the God. All right? In John 1:1, it says, and became kept on being the Word. And it says, and the Word was toward the God. The Word kept on being toward the God. Look at this. And he was snatched up to be toward God. Look at that word snatched up there. Harpazo. Our word raptor and our word rapture is the same word. Rapture and the word raptor. Do you know what a raptor is? Is a California condor a raptor? No. He's got turkey feet. It does. All right. How about a crow? Is a crow a raptor?
No.
No.
It'd be a hawk or
an eagle. A hawk or an eagle with sharp claws. That's a raptor. Sharp claws so they can swoop down and snatch something up. And it says he was snatched up, this child of her, toward the God and toward the throne of him. Israel was the bride of God, and one little woman, one young teenage girl, probably 14 or 15 years old, brought forth the Messiah. Her name was Mary. Mary was no different than anybody else, but she was faithful to God. She was faithful. She wasn't God. She can't pray for you to Jesus or anything like that. She was a human being. But she was the the remnant, the little faithful remnant of the nation of Israel that remained faithful, that brought forth that Messiah child. Israel as a whole was an unfaithful harlot. That's what the Bible says. But this one girl was faithful. And Israel was faithful enough to bring forth the Messiah child in her. She is a hero to the nation of Israel. She should be. But guess what? Israel has never accepted that Messiah that she brought forth. Never. Israel will never accept that Messiah in this church age. Did you know that? Israel has to be brought under great stress and torment in the tribulation period. And guess where she's going to be protected? Where is she going to be protected? We're going to get to that in just a little bit. On Esau's stomping grounds. On Esau's stomping grounds down in Edom. Down in Petra. In that area, that's where she's going to flee. Down to that wilderness. And guess who's going to protect her there? On the devil's ground. God Himself shall protect His people, His nation down there. That's what's going to happen down there. That's where we'll put for week 12. And verse 6 is where we'll start next weekend. Thank you for your attention tonight. Please remember us in your prayers. Again, this is the 18th, isn't it?
Yeah,
brother. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Ken, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Thank you, Father God, so much that we can come together and learn your word from the original language. I thank you so much for gifts you've given. And I just pray that we would take this information that you've given to us and put it in our hearts and later able to explain to people as we were explained to. I pray, Lord God, you just help all the people with prayer requests that were spoken or unspoken, that you just give peace in their heart, that you are in control, and that everything will work out for those who love you. I pray, Lord, you just help us all as we go in our many directions. That's how I'll come back safely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.